following is a presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
It's a Motor City Monday on the Huge Show across Michigan, presented by your Detroit Tigers. Make sure you text Tigers to 21,000 for your chance to win a pair of tickets each and every week through the end of May. Just text Tigers to 21,000 one time, and you'll be in the weekly drawings through May. And also, if you want to save 15% on select game tickets in April and May, go to Tigers.com/Huge Show. That's Tigers.com/Huge Show. It is a Motor City Monday presented by the Detroit Tigers on the Michigan Sports Network.
Are you ready for huge opinions on the Lions, Tigers, Wings, Pistons, Michigan, MSU, and every sports team in the state of Michigan? It's time for The Huge Show. From the east side to the west side to the UP, The Huge Show is on air statewide on the Michigan Sports Network. Voice your huge opinions now at 1-866-838-HUGE. That's 1-866-838-4843.
You ready?
Now, the huge one, Bill Simonson.
What's up, Michigan? It is time to get together on the only syndicated statewide afternoon sports radio show, 19 stations strong. For the one close to you, go to thehugeshow.net. There you can listen to the live free online stream. Weekdays 3 until 6. And on the iHeart app, search The Huge Show and you can listen anywhere in America where you get mobile service. Inside this hour, Anthony Broom from TheWolverine.com will join us with an update on Michigan football and basketball. We'll do the same with Jim Comperoni from SpartanMag.com. Spartan's got a couple of defensive transfer portal guys today. I like Coach Smith from a distance. Never talked to him, never met him. I like what he's doing, considering the depths of despair and darkness that Mel Tucker buried Michigan State football into. So I like what Smith's doing. We'll talk to Comp, Anthony Broom. We also threw out our Flying Ace Whiskey huge questions of the day. Did you watch a Tom Brady roast on Netflix? I think it was phenomenal. Because A, I was in total shock that Brady would even do it. Well, what's the benefit unless someone, even if they gave you 25 mil, you're at that level? I guess 25 million is 25 million. Maybe as comedian Nikki Glaser said, you lost 30 million on crypto. You got it back by doing the roast, maybe. Did you watch it? What was your favorite part? That's one part of our Flying Ace Whiskey huge question of the day. Second part is, as we await the NFL schedule show, and they're taking more time than normal right now. Is it going to get pushed in the next week? I thought it might be this Thursday. People are telling me, well, why can't they just print? Well, you got to see, is Luke Combs or Taylor Swift or someone booked for one of these big stadiums on that day? You would think, though, okay, and it could come into play for the Mondays, Thursdays, Saturdays when you don't know the schedule. You would think they have Sundays blocked off for Ford Field, right? You would think that they just block off the 16, 17 Sundays. Trying to figure out when they're going to do this NFL schedule show. I thought it was going to be this Thursday. Superfly said they might move it into next week. And everybody's like, well, what's going on? I mean, some people are trying to say there's some leaks out there. I don't buy it. I think some people just do Twitter feeds and lie through the teeth. So, and our question is, who do you think the Lions opening game will be? I think it'll be a rematch in San Francisco, Sunday Night Football in America with the Niners. You can answer that question. Who do you think? 1-866-838-4843. That's 1-866-838-HUGE. At Huge Show on Twitter, The Huge Show on Facebook, and also opt in on that Huge text chain. Text Huge to 21,000. That's presented by Roast Umber Coffee. Okay? Who do you think they're first? A lot of Lions fans are saying it's going to be the Bears because they have Caleb Williams. Oh, they have Caleb Williams right now. Why is he being anointed like the second coming of Patrick Mahomes? And all these Bears fans are just thinking he's going to win out of the gate? Really? See, all the NFL is doing is saying 2024 NFL schedule release is coming soon. And then Pro Football Talk is saying next week makes the most sense for the 2024 NFL schedule release. Why does next week make the most sense? They say it's coming this month. That's what the NFL is saying. Yeah, they've announced some of the international games, but it's finding the dates and when the teams play. And they got TV execs involved, multiple. You go down the list, Fox, NBC, CBS, Prime, right? This talk that the Bears are ready to supplant the Lions just drives me crazy. As Chicago fans who are just totally living in denial, Caleb Williams will be a major bust. I'm going to call him Caleb Leaf after Ryan Leaf. Anthony Boone isn't a bust. He was a top-round draft pick by GM Chris Ballas at the Wolverine.com draft. Follows the Wolverines. He's standing by on the Meyer guest line. How you doing, my man?
I'm doing well. And guess what? I'm not afraid of Caleb Williams either. So bring it on, Chicago.
Yeah, I know that. Well, they have DJ Moore, Odunze, they have Keenan Allen. I'm telling you, you look at how bad Caleb Williams and USC underachieved as a football team. Look at the last 2 years. I just want to write that down. And this comparison, I think what the Bears fans are living through right now, that they missed on Mahomes and they think this time we got our guy, right?
Maybe. I mean, he's very good. I don't doubt that he could be an NFL star. But, again, like, there's all this talk about, you know, it's with Caleb Williams. It's with, you know, to a certain extent, J.J. McCarthy's in the division now. Jordan Love and the Packers are, you know, had a good second half. And all these this talk is, oh, well, this division's rising. The Lions better watch it. No, you know, maybe those teams need to wait their turn. Like the Lions fans waited their turn for 30-plus years or whatever. You know, what's a year or two where, you know, I don't see why there needs to be this fear. Again, this is my view as a Lions fan, but why isn't the conversation the other way around? You know, this is a team that was 30 minutes away from being in a Super Bowl. Why isn't the talk from those fan bases about, oh, well, you know, our window is maybe next year or so. So it's like, to me, I think everyone's got it backwards, but that's my 10,000-foot view on it.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, he's a rookie. He has a long ways to go. And the Bears, I don't trust their coaching staff. And I know, well, they played well at the end. We'll see. Again, Caleb Williams, I don't look at him and Jaden Daniels. If you ask me, like I asked Skeen from the Wolverine.com, I think it was last Friday, in 2 years from all these rookie quarterbacks, who will be the best in the NFL? And he said J.J. McCarthy.
I could see it. I think he landed in the best situation of any of those teams. I trust his coaching staff. I trust the playmakers they have around him. Again, it's just, when we talk about J.J. McCarthy, and I feel like I've said this on your airwaves, I've said this, you know, on our show, people confuse the fact, like, they think that Michigan, what they had around him, elevated his play, where really it was the other way around. You know, any quarterback play less than what they got out of J.J. McCarthy, and they were just falling short of beating Ohio State, winning Big Ten championships. And I know Cade McNamara did it for them. in 2021, but then he got and played against a team like Georgia, and you just saw how overmatched he was. So, you know, the conversation about J.J. McCarthy to me is, you know, he's been the rising tide. And I think when you, I mean, I just think it's a tailor-made situation for him in Minnesota. So, like I said, excited to see what he does. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he had a, you know, maybe not a more illustrious statistical career than Caleb Williams, but I think he might be a more winning player. So I don't think that's too out of a take, but we'll see what happens.
That's going to be crazy. NFC North, you have J.J. and the Michigan connection. Now inside the North with the Vikings, you got Williams, the overall number one pick. And the Bears, you got Love, who really came on strong final two-thirds of the season with Green Bay. That division has gone from a bottom feeder to a very interesting division in the NFC in the last calendar year. Anthony Broom from the Wolverine.com joining us. Speaking of the NFL, and I saw the story at the Wolverine.com, out of all the NFL draft picks and all the roster spots that Michigan had to replace, obviously quarterback would be the most significant one with no J.J. McCarthy. What would be positions 2, 3, 4, and 5 that are going to be tough, not to replace to their level, but just a tough transition time for Sharon Moore and his staff in year one?
That's a great question. I think if obviously quarterback tops that list, I mean, you hit the nail on the head there. I think maybe that next tier that maybe has the most questions is probably at wide receiver. Now, we've seen them make some moves there in the last few weeks, but I think that's more to fortify the depth. And I like the top three that they have on the depth chart right now. And, you know, it looks like Tyler Morris is going to step into that Ronnie Bell, Roman Wilson type of role. You know, Samaj Morgan, which we've seen what he can do as a creative piece in the offense. You know, a slot guy, certainly they're going to put more on his plate this year. And Fred Moore, I think one of the more you know, one of the maybe breakout players, not the way to put it, but I thought that he had a really good spring and showed us a lot of good things in the spring game as well. But again, you know, there's, you know, you're replacing a guy like Roman Wilson, who was a third round pick. Cordelius Johnson gets drafted. He was productive over the last few years. So to me, I mean, with them not going after a quarterback in the transfer portal, which to me was more circumstantial than anything, I just don't think the timeline lined up for them to pursue that guy because they were playing football games longer than anyone else was. And J.J. McCarthy had a decision to make. So I think when you move off of the idea that you're going to bring in a transfer to fill that spot out, it's all about how you support him. And I certainly think that they're probably in the mix for another receiver in the portal, maybe a more proven guy. You know, offensive line, I think they're going to be fine there. I maybe not quite as deep, but I do think they'll find a five that works and that kind of is able to uphold that standard that the last few years have set. And defensively, like, I have no questions at all. So really, you look at the offensive side of the ball and you look at, you're replacing pretty much every starter except for one guy in Colston Loveland. Yeah, I think that the skill position guys, you know, there's going to have to be some guys that step up into bigger roles, even with the tight ends, you know, alongside Colston Loveland as well. So to me, that's probably where the biggest void is at the moment, is who are going to be those skill guys on offense.
Man, I'm looking at that schedule. Fresno State on August 31st at the Big House in Texas, in Ann Arbor the following week. Arkansas State, Butch Jones coming up north on September 14th. Then USC, new member in the Big Ten, on September 21st, and that's in Ann Arbor, and then at Minnesota, in Seattle on the road against Washington, at Illinois, or Michigan State will be at Ann Arbor, then Oregon at the Big House, Indiana and Bloomington, Northwestern in Ann Arbor, and Ohio State in Columbus. My Lord, has Michigan ever had a tougher, at least on paper? And we'll see when the season hits. At least going in, have you ever seen a tougher Michigan football schedule than what lies ahead in 2024?
I don't think so. At least when you look at that schedule, and it's less about the names and you see the logos on the schedule, right? Like you see USC, you see Washington, you see Oregon. I actually think USC and Washington probably are going to be in for a bit of a rude awakening coming into a Big Ten conference that, plays pretty physically. Washington, obviously, you know, they're facing a rebuild too with Kalen DeBoer heading to Alabama, Jed Fish taking over, and a lot of new faces on that team. But, man, I mean, it's not going to be like last year. You had, what, 7-8 weeks before you played a competitive football game? This time around, like, there is no easing into this season. Like, everyone talks about Texas in week two, and, yeah, that's a huge test. But Fresno State's going to come into Ann Arbor on the 31st of August, and they're coming in to try and win a football game. And they've competed, you know, in games like that before. So, to me, I think it adds to a sense of urgency of finding who fits these roles, what is this team's identity, and obviously now, like, a lot of that work is being done off the field and in the weight room, and they'll regroup this summer and get back at it before fall camp starts. But to me, I mean, you just, again, thank God for the 12-team playoff, because, you know, you want to win all these games, but you can afford to drop one of them, two of them, heck, depending on how it plays out, maybe three of them, and still kind of squeeze into that field. So it is difficult, but I ultimately think it's a good thing, because I just want more games that matter, and that's where we're at now.
Anthony Broom, he's with the Wolverine.com Michigan Insider, joining us on the Meyer guest line on this Monday broadcast. Dusty May, from where Michigan basketball was at the end of the Howard era to where they are right now, and we're talking, what, less than 2 months. Man, well, what a job by May, at least putting together a roster, a program that looked like they were 2 to 3 years from being competitive, now brings in an athletic roster, maybe as good as anybody in the Big Ten, and now the key will be, can you create a culture and get those guys to play together?
Yeah, I mean, he's built a roster that I think, again, can I say they'll compete for a Big Ten title? No, I can't say that right now, but are they a top five, top six roster in the conference? I think they're going to be in the mix for that. And you've got, you know, it's not like, you know, you think about some of those rosters early on, like Fred Hoiberg had in Nebraska, and it's just a bunch of transfers and stopgap guys, and, you know, you're just kind of sifting through every level of basketball you can just to feel the roster. No, I mean, Michigan's got, I think, 2 or 3 guys who only have 1 year of eligibility left. Most of these guys have at least 2 years of eligibility left. So, you know, not, you can't just assume everyone will still be here after next year. I think that the current landscape of college sports, like, it's just not a safe bet to bet that way. But there's going to be a foundation here, and you just keep building onto it and building onto it. And I said this over the weekend. I mean, Dusty May is the guy that, if there are 24 hours in a day, he's going to find a way to get 36 hours worth of work done, or whatever it is. Like, I've never seen a coach hit the ground hit the ground running as hard as he is right off the bat. So, does it guarantee success? No. But I think you could rest your head pretty easily if you're a Michigan fan that this guy has and will continue to flip over every possible stone to not only make sure this team is competitive, but he wants to put them, you know, he's been to a Final Four. He wants to get back, and he wants to get farther than that, you know? And I think just the way you've seen him work, you see the way you've seen him fundraise for NIL, he's doing a lot of that on his own, kind of making the rounds and shaking hands and making phone calls. It's been a phenomenal hire right off the bat, and you could only grade him on what he's done so far. It's so hard to project, but it's A's across the board at this point.
Anthony Broom, solid work as always on and off air. Follow him, Clayton Safey, Chris Ballas, Doug Skeen, John Borton, and the entire Wolverine.com recruiting crew and more at thewolverine.com. Hey, B, thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you, guys.
All right, Anthony Broom checking in on the Meyer guest line. Jim Comperoni, SpartanMag.com, the MSU Insider. We'll talk about the two new defensive transfer portal Spartan football team members that happened today. We'll get an update on Izzo, his roster, Coach Smith, what's going on there in the TP. That's what they call it now in the transfer portal. We also have our Flying Ace whiskey, huge questions of the day. By the way, look for Flying Ace in stores all across Michigan. It's bottled in this great state. The peach, black cherry. They have the original smooth whiskey, a small batch whiskey bottles, and also caramel corn if you like something crazy. But I will tell you, the peach and the black cherry Flying Ace whiskey are awesome. And when you're looking inside stores across Michigan, look for the Bottleneckers, where you'll see a QR code and you can donate immediately to Folds of Honor Michigan, and the money will stay right here in Michigan to help the children of our heroes in the military and also first responders. And Flying Ace Whiskey is giving out 4 scholarships to those children here throughout the year. And you can donate. Just look for the Flying Ace Whiskey Bottleneckers on bottles in stores all across Michigan. QR code, and you can donate immediately, and your money will stay right here in Michigan with the Folds of Honor Michigan chapter. Flying Ace Whiskey, American made, bottled in this great state of Michigan. Comp on Spartan football and basketball. He'll join us next.
From Petoskey to Detroit, this show is huge.
In the Den with Dan Dickerson.
Hey, Tigers fans, a new baseball season means a new season on Michigan's favorite island destination, Mackinac Island. Baseball, spring, and Mackinac Island. Things that return every year, reminding us what a great state we live in. Shake off the winter blahs. Take in a game and plan your trip to America's top summer destination, MackinacIsland.org. There really are a stunning number of very good to great hitters who just aren't hitting right now. The lowest OPS of any regular belongs to the Tigers' Colt Keith. Next lowest, the ex-Tiger Nick Castellanos. Then comes Randy Arozarena. Last year's NL Rookie of the Year, Corbin Carroll, had 65 extra base hits last year. He has 4 so far this year, and he's hitting 190. Yandy Diaz has been arguably one of the top 2 hitters in the American League the last 2 years. He's hitting 220 with no power. The list goes on. It's Xander Bogaerts, Alex Bregman, Paul Goldschmidt, and the sensational Julio Rodriguez, all low average and shockingly low power numbers. It's a reminder, which we need every year. Hitting is hard.
Huge here for the Michigan High School Athletic Association. You can stay up to date on the latest from Lansing 24/7 at MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, and MHSAA on Facebook. The latest news, press releases, and stories connected to every high school in the state of Michigan available for you 24/7 from the Michigan High School Athletic Association. Log on to MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, and MHSAA on Facebook. And if you're looking for archive boys and girls high school sports, MHSAA.tv. That's MHSAA.tv. 24/7, everything you need to know about high school sports in Michigan. Log on to MHSAA.com.
Imagine this, a day filled with indulgence, bursting with excitement, and packed with extraordinary moments that build memories to last a lifetime. A day that is unmistakably yours at the place that is undeniably spectacular. Whether you're winning big, dining lavishly, or relaxing oh so comfortably, it's your getaway reimagined at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort.
Roast Umber is a farm-direct coffee sourced from Central American farmers and roasted in Grand Rapids. And also the Nitro Cold Brew Coffee is a convenient and healthy option for energy with no sugar additives. Look for it at your local retailer or at roastumber.com.
You're listening to The Huge Show on the Michigan Sports Network.
Show is back live across Michigan. Motor City Monday, presented by your Detroit Tigers. If you want to get in on the weekly ticket giveaways to see the Tigers in the Motor City, just text Tigers to 21000. We have weekly drawings through May. And if you want to save 15% on each ticket for select games in May, go to tigers.com/huge show. Superfly Hayes is our executive producer. Flying Ace Whiskey, huge questions of the day. Did you watch a Tom Brady roast? If so, what was the best part for you? I loved it. It was awesome. I still don't know why he did it. Part two, when the NFL schedule is released, whether it's this Thursday or next Thursday, what do you think the Lions opener will be? I think it will be at San Francisco. Sunday Night Football in America. The Lions looking for revenge, right? You can answer that question 1-866-838-4843. That's 1-866-838-HUGE. Add Huge Show on Twitter, The Huge Show on Facebook, and opt in on the Roast Umber Coffee text chain. Just text HUGE to 21,000. Let's go talk to Jim Comperoni, SpartanMag.com, the MSU insider, standing by from Lansing. How you doing, my friend?
Hey, Bill. Great to be on your show. Thank you.
All right. Always good to have you back. What's the latest news? A couple of defensive players for Coach Smith and Michigan State football today.
Sure. A couple of defensive linemen. Tyler Gillison coming in as a defensive end from Cincinnati Bearcats. And also Ruquan Buckley, defensive tackle from Nebraska. You know, a couple of guys that I'm thinking will be second string type of guys, not really difference makers, but Michigan State right now, they need to fill out that two deep after Derek Harmon and Simeon Barrow moved on to the defensive tackle position. So, you know, Michigan State getting a couple guys that have been on the field, you know, at the FBS level. And, you know, Buckley 6'5", 295. He's a veteran guy coming in from Nebraska. Again, not a difference maker, but a guy that's probably going to fill in second string and give him somebody that can give him some snaps there and be a liability. And right now with Michigan State trying to rebuild, they'll take that. And they got that today and a couple of commitments out of the portal.
Yeah, and to end last week, they also got a guy that initially committed to Michigan State a year ago, and Illinois offensive lineman Andrew Dennis, who is now a Spartan via the transfer portal.
Yeah, that's a big one. You know, that's a guy that was a national 50 guy from Mount Pleasant High School, a guy that had committed to Michigan State, and then when things went downhill with Mel Tucker, he kind of reopened his recruitment and signed with Illinois, enrolled early at Illinois, went through spring practice at Illinois as a true freshman, finished that up a couple weeks ago, but he likes what's going on at Michigan State with Jonathan Smith, the new offensive line coach, entered the portal, shook him loose, and Michigan State got him. So a roundabout way to get a four-star offensive lineman with 4 years of eligibility remaining. It's just strange. I mean, with A.J. Dennis, and that guy's a top 250 four-star guy. He's athletic, an offensive tackle type of guy. It's just, he's a microcosm of everything that college football is these days. He, you know, graduated early from high school, enrolled early, went through spring practice, had already decommitted, and he's in the portal after one semester as an early enrollee guy. But, like I said, a Mount Pleasant guy that's planned to be a Spartan a couple of years ago, and as he told me, he's happy to be home. So Michigan State built into the future with that guy and the offensive line, who is not part of last year's recruiting class, but kind of is now. And that would be that would have been the 21st member of the 2024 recruiting class. And if he hadn't gone to Illinois, that recruiting class would have bumped up maybe into the top 35, but he ends up at Michigan State. But yeah, a lot of these things happening here after spring football. I mean, April roster changes. College football's never been like this before, but the April portal period has become newsworthy for college football.
Jim Comperoni, SpartanMag.com, the MSU insider, joining us on the Meyer guest line. On the flip side, what has the transfer portal defection list looked like for Coach Smith of Michigan State football, and what players leaving have hurt this team?
Yeah, so the total numbers of guys that are coming and going, 35 players have left. That would have been 20 in the winter portal and 15 in the spring portal. So that's 35 out, and there's 34 now that are coming in when you count transfers in and high school incoming recruits, 20 of those guys. So 35 out, 34 in. Those that are out, I mentioned the defensive tackles, Simeon Barrow and Derek Harmon. Those two hurt the defense. Those are two solid players. I think Derek Harmon's going to be a star here in his last 2 years of college football. If he plays both years, he's transferred to Oregon. They will miss him. Jaden Mangum is in the portal, starting safety. And this, you know, the school, that was a surprise that came out. His brother also is going into the portal. I think his brother is going to be transferring elsewhere. Might hear about that tomorrow or the next day. But Jaden is taking visits, the safety. He'll be visiting Nebraska, Michigan, Ohio State. Also reaching out are Alabama and Georgia. So Jaden Mangum is attracting a lot of interest. They'll miss him depth-wise. Dylan Tatum moved from corner to safety. He had a pretty good spring at safety. So if Dylan Tatum comes around, they may not miss Jaden a whole lot as long as everybody stays healthy. But as they try to build, you'd rather not lose players like this. And I'll tell you what, Bill. Some players are moving on. You know, Zion Young moved on in December, a defensive end that was a promising young player. He goes to Missouri. And, you know, By Job is a guy. By Job, last name Job, J-O-B-E, was a true freshman, was a four-star recruit, came in out of Oklahoma, spent 1 year at Michigan State, and Mel Tucker and the previous staff paid him a lot of NIL money. Go to Michigan State as a freshman. He played one game, 11 snaps. He's got speed, but still needs to learn how to play football. So, new coaching staff. So that young man, he's thinking he's going to renegotiate his NIL or something. And the new coaching staff's like, dude, we're not paying you. I don't have this directly from Michigan State people, but word in the industry is, you know, Michigan State's just not going to really, may not be interested in paying what Tucker paid previously to some of these players. Not all of them, but By Job would be one of those guys that, you know, hey, whatever you got to come here out of high school, that was a different coaching staff. We like you. We'd like to develop you or whatever, but he goes into the portal. And so some players came in under different circumstances. Some players are leaving that went through spring practice and saw that they would not be in the two deep. And then there's a couple players that were quality players like Barrow, Harmon, Mangum, Zion Young. So it's a mixed bag out of those 35 that are gone and the 33 that are coming in. But it's a heavier evolving door at Michigan State right now. And you're seeing that at some other places. You know, A&M had 30 people come and go. Alabama's in the 30s. Indiana had 36 come and go. USC has 30. Washington, 29. Ohio State, 26. I think Michigan's at 20. There's a lot of revolving doors in college football right now.
Jim Comperoni, SpartanMag.com. You can follow that revolving store both in and out when it comes to Michigan State football and basketball at SpartanMag.com. Comp, always appreciate the time statewide.
All right, we're going to try to sort it all out and have the coverage there at SpartanMag.com as it continues to develop. It's great to hear from you. Hey, have a great day, Bill. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, back at you, Jim Comperoni. I like him. Good guy. Him and Ballas, fishing buddies. It's awesome how they get together, fish the Muskegon River, sharing stories, Wolverine, Spot, and green and white. Ballas will even say, go green, go white. It's a beautiful thing. Remember, if you miss any of our podcast, any show, the podcasts are free. Just search The Huge Show where you download podcasts.
Everything huge, 24/7 at thehugeshow.net.
Hey, Michigan, let's go big. I'm Herman Moore, Lions All-Pro wide receiver, and I'm talking real big-time winning on the hottest slots and table games on one incredible app, Eagle Casino and Sports.
Sign up now and get up to $1,500. That's right. We'll match your deposit for up to $1,500, and you'll get 100 free spins.
Eagle Casino and Sports. Made in Michigan. Made for Michigan.
Must be 21 or older in Michigan to play.
Huge here for my good friends from Flying Ace Whiskey. Now it's an American-made whiskey bottled right here in our great state of Michigan. And Flying Ace Whiskey has partnered with the Folds of Honor Michigan chapter to help Michigan children of men and women injured or killed in combat, and also the children of our first responders who are injured or die and making the ultimate sacrifice while serving and protecting. And there's a simple, easy way for you to donate with that money going to the Folds of Honor Michigan chapter. Look for the Flying Ace Whiskey bottle neckers on bottles all across the state of Michigan here over the next couple of weeks, and you can donate, and that money will go directly to the Folds of Honor Michigan program on behalf of Flying Ace Whiskey. And also, Flying Ace Whiskey has put up 4 scholarships for the children. Flying Ace Whiskey, an American-made whiskey, taking a lot of pride in America. Look for it in stores and pubs all across Michigan.
We're teeing off our 10th year. At the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.
Attention Tigers fans, you can now get 15% off every ticket for select games through May by going to tigers.com/huge show. That's tigers.com/huge show.
You're listening to The Huge Show on the Michigan Sports Network.
We'll talk to Keith Langlois, Pistons.com. He is a Pistons NBA insider. He's standing by on the Meijer guest line. How you doing, my man?
Doing well, Bill. It's been a while, but I know he didn't have a lot of good things to talk about during the season.
You know, and for the Pistons, because I look at Orlando last night, you know, going to a seventh game, you look at the ascension of some of these young teams, including Minnesota, who seem to be stockpiling draft picks for a decade. You're looking at Indiana, and the Pistons were on that same projected path, and it just went down the opposite way. So the question is, as we all watch the playoffs right now, Keith, well, what's the plan moving forward to get this team into a position where they can be in the playoffs again?
Well, I think the plan was it started with the day after the season when you know, the owner, Tom Gores, released a statement announcing that they were going to be looking for a new president of basketball operations. And, you know, really where that lands is going to determine what the plan is. And, you know, I don't mean to be flip with that, but you would assume that. So, you know, as is customary, it's been reported that the Pistons have hired an executive search firm to present them with a list of names so then they can start winnowing down the list of candidates. It will be interesting as those candidates are presented to the Pistons. What, you know, you would expect that the list will be partly predetermined by what the Pistons told the search firm. Here's what we want. And do they want to really act aggressively this summer to speed up a rebuilding with the cap space they'll have more than any team in the league? Or will they say, look, we understand that, you know, we had a setback this year and it might take another year of pain. And that might shape the executive search, and they might want to land on a different type of executive depending on what their immediate and long-term aims are.
So what do they need? Just your observation, and Keith Langlois, Pistons.com. What type of, not only team president, but what players are missing? Because I look at the roster, I see the talent. They upgraded and they took a step back, and, you know, they had a new coaching staff coming in. They basically had new people all around, a fresh start, and it just never got off the ground. What do they need, you think, Keith, just your opinion, for the Pistons to be a contender again? Just a contender for the playoffs. I'm not talking about right. The Eastern Conference or winning the NBA Finals. I'm just saying a contender to get to the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, I think the good news is you start with Cade Cunningham, and I think Cade showed this year that he is, you know, like on the very verge of being a top 25 type player in the league and a guy that you can build a roster around. And that is, you know, that is a critical, it's very hard to land on one of those players, and they landed on one. This year stalled for a number of reasons. I mean, you think back, they started the season 2-1. They were a Cade Cunningham rimmed out three in the opener at Miami of being 3-0. Jalen Duren absolutely looked like a burgeoning all-star, even though he was 19 at that time. I think those first three games, he averaged like 18 points, over 15 rebounds, three blocks, four assists. Game four came, he sprained his ankle, Alec Burks hurt his arm, and they were already without Bogdanovich and Morris. So the veterans that they really relied on to be a veteran presence, and also those same veterans represented the three-point shooting they had. So they were without Bogdanovich, they were without Morris, they were without Burks. He came back fairly shortly, but had hurt his arm and couldn't shoot for a month. They really need, you ask me what they need, they need three-point shooting primarily to put around Cade Cunningham. And then the second thing they need is the development of the other young guys around Cade. Jalen Duren, Jaden Ivey, Asar Thompson, Isaiah Stewart, Marcus Sasser, and then the two guys they picked up at the trade deadline, young players that are also a part of that core now, in Simone Fontecchio and Quentin Grimes. So you've got eight young guys that represent a core. You've got athleticism there. You've got size there. What you don't have there is a lot of experience, and you don't have the requisite three-point shooting. So I'm sure an executive is going to come in and look to tweak the roster. It might include having to swap out some from among that group of players to add some shooting. And, you know, as I said, they're going to have over $60 million in cap space this summer, and that's what they really need to address more than anything. You know, it kind of I go back to the NBA before there was a three-point shot, and I kind of lament the fact that the three-point shot has become so outsized in importance now. But if you don't have three-point shooting, it is very, very hard to put a team that can compete every night on the floor. And the Pistons just had inconsistent three-point shooting that, again, goes back to the people they brought in to be three-point shooters were also with the people they brought in to be the veteran presence, and they missed that early part of the season when things just really went off the rails. And I really think the lack of that three-point shooting greatly affected the development of guys like Duren, Ivy, Thompson, et cetera.
I agree. And maybe a veteran point guard, you know, you saw what Paul meant to the Suns when he left. They were completely lost, even with top shelf talent like Durant and, Beal and Booker.
And Monte Morris was going to be that guy for them. He really was. It's underrated, and I'm not saying they would have been, knocking on the doors of the playoffs or a 500 team with him. They would have been a lot more competitive every night if they'd had that veteran point guard. The other guards were, without him there, you got Cade Cunningham, Jaden Ivey, Mark Sessler. They're all young guys. And look, I wrote this a million times, but when they settled on a preferred starting five of Duren, Stewart, Thompson, Cunningham, and Ivey, Stewart's the oldest one of the bunch, and he won't be 23 until later this month. Michigan State had four guys in their starting lineup this year older than Isaiah Stewart. Young teams get killed in the NBA, and the steps that the Pistons took to kind of mediate that a little bit by bringing in veterans like Joe Harris and Monte Morris and Burks and Bogdanovich, they were all hurt and unavailable. Joe Harris was available. It turns out he might have been a little bit cooked with the ankle injuries, but he wasn't an effective player even though he was available. The other three guys were hurt for too long of stretches, and it just kind of really just threw the season off the rails.
Yeah, I agree. That's such a great summation of where they're at. That because you look at the roster, you look at the talent, and you shake your head and say, how can they be this bad? And the only explanation, I agree with age and how young they are, and a leader on the floor, maybe a leader on the team charter, a leader in the locker room, because they are so young. And yeah, you're right. You know, Morris Bogdanovich, you're thinking, okay, with these young guys, we could be a potential play-in tournament team. And then beginning of that year just went south. So they got to move fast now. They don't have another four-year window to see what they can do, Keith. They just don't.
Yeah, they don't. They clearly don't. But also, I would caution that you don't want to just rashly go out and throw too much money at throw $30 million at a guy who the rest of the league would say is a $15 million player. Right. And then you're tied with someone who's going to move the needle very minimally, and now you're setting yourself back for the year after that. So I know fans don't want to hear that. They want to think that $60 million is going to land two All-Stars. It probably isn't going to land two All-Stars, but it should land players who can be better, much better complementary fits with Cade Cunningham and Duren. They've got, a few years ago, they had very little athleticism. Then they draft Duren and Ivy, the athleticism goes up. They draft Asar Thompson, the athleticism goes up. They've got a lot of elements in place now. They've got size and athleticism that they didn't have a few years ago. Now they need seasoning and, critically, some three-point shooting.
That's why Klay Thompson as a free agent, where he's spotting up shooting at three, that would be interesting. I've always said, and I'm not saying that Draymond Green should be the guy, but a leader on the floor, off the court. There's pieces there that are obviously missing. Keith Langlois, Pistons.com. He's honest about the Pistons, the NBA. You can follow everything there. Keith, it was cool to catch up with you, my man, okay?
Anytime, Bill. Thank you.
Big, bad, huge.